Good morning. 00 hours. Clear. 44 degrees. Good morning. 01:00 hours. Clear. 42 degrees. Good morning. 02:00 hours. Clear. 40 degrees. Good morning. 03:00 hours. Clear. 38 degrees. Good morning. 04:00 hours. Clear. 38 degrees. Good morning. 05:00 hours. Clear. 38 degrees.
Kilo Echo 8 Alpha X-ray Charlie. Mobile.
Good morning. 06:00 hours. Clear. 38 degrees.
K8RUH.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this fine trafficy morning?
I'm hoping this is going to be the last day that I wake up with a cough. How are you?
Apparently better than you are. You got a cold going there?
It was 2 weeks since last Friday that I started feeling ill. Not like dying ill. I did take one day off of work, but like just an annoying chest cold and sinus infection that would not go away. The sinus infection is finally gone, but the chest cold, just that annoying like tickle in your upper respiratory that never stops. So now I think it's like a habit.
That sucks. Yeah, I think I was fighting something over the weekend. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a cold or anything, but, man, I was just off. I was exhausted and just, I don't know, that feeling when you are, like, getting over being, like, really sick, like, exhausted, a little faint, but overall okay. It was really weird, but I've been feeling just fine yesterday and today. We'll see.
Tell me why it just took me 5 minutes at McDonald's to get a coffee and the cup's half full, and it cost $5.
That sucks. What kind of coffee did you buy at McDonald's that cost $5?
I got a large cappuccino, and it was like $4.80. And then I went to the drive-thru. No one was there. I had to pull up to the window. Then it took them like a solid 3-4 minutes to get me my coffee. And they handed me, and I feel like a Pepsi.
That sucks. Yeah, I got to stop and grab a coffee in a minute here. Because I slow rolled it this morning and didn't get out of bed fast enough. And it's election day, so my wife and daughter are off. So I didn't even turn the coffee pot on.
If you're going to go juice, I was trying something new today. I've been getting ruffled. And I was like, I got to stop drinking anything the other day. Like, there's no scientific proof that they're bad for me, but they can't be good for me. So I'm going to try to switch it up. I was like, I pass the McDonald's every morning. It's like a half mile away from the gas station I go to and I get a coffee. And so far, the experience is pretty annoying.
I bet if you looked into it, there is scientific proof those are bad for you.
Coffee is expensive because they're paying McDonald's $15 an hour to their employees. Got to remember, they got to cover that overhead.
That's not why coffee's expensive. Coffee's expensive because of tariffs and it comes from South America.
Valid point, but yeah, like I said, I mean, I've had coffee with Sean over at Starbucks, and he sits there in the drive-thru, and we're like, we're the only car in line. We're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. You know, it's by the time we pulled out of there, we had about a half a dozen cars behind us one morning. Anyhow, good morning, W8RCY. I'll let you gentlemen continue on.
Morning, Donald. You are probably correct on the coffee. Well, no, Anthony's correct on the coffee, but the food, it should not cost me $13 for a breakfast sandwich, a coffee, and a hash patty. So I think that's where that waiver cost comes in.
Sorry, guys, I'm in line right now.
Good timing because I'm sitting in a crater right now.
All right, and I am back. You out of that crater, Dakota? Donald, you still around?
Yes, I'm still here. I haven't heard Dakota yet, but I was just looking up breakfast at McDonald's on DoorDash, and yeah, it's $10 for a medium-sized coffee, sausage McMuffin with egg, and of course the hash brown. So, yeah, it's $10 here plus probably processing fees and everything else. But I get most of that stuff waived and no delivery fees. And, you know, a fair tip. Yeah, you're still close to $12 just to get that if I have it delivered DoorDash. Dakota, you back?
I'm back. I was in a low spot on the south side of town, and now I should be good for the remainder of the trip here until I get to that usual spot on 53. Yeah, DoorDash is also ridiculous. This weekend, I DoorDashed Taco Bell, and I did it at like 1:30 on Sunday. I was like, I'll just eat an early dinner, whatever. I didn't eat lunch or any breakfast. I'm hungry. I'm hangry. And never showed up. It's like 2:30. I'm like, what the hell? So I checked. It got assigned to, like, 7 different DoorDashers. I called the store. They said they made it 3 times. 3 different DoorDashers took it. And I'm said, okay, well, I didn't get my food. And she goes, there's nothing I can do. So I placed another order. The lady was really nice. I placed another order. That one actually got delivered, and then she was able, or I'm sorry, she delivered, quote, the first one that never showed up, and then canceled the second one. So I got a refund. So DoorDash sucks.
I refuse to use DoorDash. I've only used it once when I was in town here. I've used it when we were on vacation, but that's it. I mean, it's like, get out of your house and go pick it up. But Dakota, I understand you got three little kids you don't want to pack up to go get Taco Bell, but man, it costs a ton of money, that additional fees, and then you got other people handling your food. It's just not for me, that's for sure. If I can't get my ass out of the house to go get it, I should probably cook something I have in the house.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I don't like it, but the convenience, like, my youngest was napping, and I'm like, there's no food in the house. He's napping. I'm not going to wake him up to go eat, so DoorDash it is. And then we were out of coffee Saturday morning. DoorDash to Red Bull. Like, it's so stupid, but the convenience is so not worth what you're paying, but worth what you're paying. So I look forward to the days when the kids are old enough to say, all right, get the truck, run to the store, and I don't have to do anything.
There's also those with disabilities that are not as ambulatory as they used to be, and those kind of things. And like I say, being an old fart senior at 69 with a disability, there are days I can't be outside. There are days I'm not going to go walking on an icy winter street, across the street to DoorDash my Starbucks if I were to do that. So there are benefits if you look at it and you get your service fees reduced, no delivery fee charges, and you pay the fair minimum for a tip. That's my story, and you can agree or disagree. I understand everybody's got a point, but for me, with a disability and not driving and things like that, like I used to do before I retired with my disability, it's helped me a great deal.
Gotcha. Hey, Dakota, did you do any more work with your antennas? You had to play radio last night?
No radio last night. I ordered a new antenna, and I just checked shipping, actually, while Donald was talking, and it's not going to be here today, which annoys me. It'll be here tomorrow. But my mag mount will be here today, so at least tomorrow I will have a proper antenna with this man pack.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Very cool. Yeah, I didn't do anything last night. I had I didn't get home from my dentist appointment until about 6 o'clock. So by the time I did that, got home, had dinner, did some stuff around the house, I was done. But I got a couple things I'd like to get done tonight. And then I did come across a Bearcat scanner at work yesterday. So I ordered the power supply for it. And that should come today, test it out tonight, and then maybe see what type of antenna I need to buy if it's working, see how that thing works out.
What model number type of Bearcat scanner did you get from Unity?
I don't know which one it is. It's like a mobile rig. It's not the handheld. It's not a new one by any means, but I think it's still available new retail. Hi, do you know how to program with Donald?
Yeah, I have the software to program some of them, but not all of them. I just have from Unitin a couple of sure pocket-sized scanners that I use for racing that are on my belt, hooked into my headset, and I can program them or get them downloaded at the track from these suppliers and get it done. But they get updated every race week that I work. So, I just wondering what kind of investment you made. I was wondering if you made an investment in like one of the top two SDS models that are like $600-$700, but no, if you got it used and so on and so forth. Yeah, and they are programmable. You get the software from Unitin for free, and cables are next to nothing.
Yeah, it's a trunked scanner, so it is a police scanner that I'll be able to hopefully figure out how to program all the local police frequencies in. It's not an analog scanner.
Well, I'll just quickly say, make sure you can, because you can't really unlock encryption. You can, you know, you can do data, you can do, you can do digital, but you can't do stuff that is like here in Oakland County where I live. All of Oakland County's law enforcement frequencies are encrypted. There's no scanner you can get that's going to open that up. But I can pick up the entire Oakland County fire and rescue and paramedic teams on some of the equipment that I have. But, yeah, you gotta read the fine print on what you got. If you can give me the model number down the road, I can look it up and see exactly what you got. Antennas are a dime a dozen. If you want a home scanner antenna, I have an on glass on mine, and it's an old Radio Shack scanner, but it works fine. It's almost like just sticking a coat hanger wire on it, and it works. All right, I'm going to back out. I'll let you guys continue on. I've got to get my day started. W8RCY, have a great day. And Dakota, hand it to you.
Have a good day, Donald. I'm staying out of that conversation because I've looked at scanners many a times. I want one. I have absolutely no need for one. And, yeah. Enough. I don't need to spend $600 on a scanner, but I want one.
Oh, I totally understand. And that's why this one came at the right price. So I'm going to fiddle around with it, buy all the accessories on Amazon. If it doesn't work, then I'll return them. You know, it's so easy to do it now like that. It's almost unfortunate that, you know, it happens that way. I guess people are driving on the other side of the road. But it works out well. So, yeah, I'm going to try to get that going tonight.
Let me know how you make out. I don't feel bad for Amazon. Don't feel bad for Amazon. They their customer service sucks, and I spent enough money with them that I should get stuff for free. And I don't know if you looked at their radio I sent you, but that's kind of where my brain went, is like, how small can I make a 25-watt man pack?
Yeah, that radio is pretty nice. You know, they do make, I have that DB20G. They make a 25-watt in that radio also. That's also a small form factor radio. But that thing, yeah, a 25-watt radio and a small man pack would be perfect. That 20-watt that I have has proved to be pretty good, too. So 25 would just make it a little bit better.
I'm only on 15 right now, and it's getting the job done. I'd say 10 is probably a reasonable amount of power with a decent antenna, for my commute at least. Radiodity's got one that's even smaller than that, and it supposedly does DMR at 25 watts. I got to get a model number and check that out, but that might be the route I take. I mean, it's like palm size, but it's a mobile, and it's got GPS, does APRS, DMR, UHF, VHF. So I don't know. Radiodity is usually pretty good. They've got halfway decent stuff, and if I'm going to buy a Chinese radio, I think it would probably be a Radiodity or a CYC, which I don't know if there's a difference there or not, but I gotta look that up when I get to work, and then I can put it in. Some guy had it in a Max Expedition pouch.
Yeah, man, when you figure out what radio that is, let me know, because I would love to figure that out. That seems like it checks every box.
It's basically an 878 on steroids.
Yeah, no kidding. That is pretty awesome.
So that's my new objective. I don't think I'm going to replace the 150 in the truck just yet. I'm going to try to get something that I can fit inside of my backpack that I take to work. That's the goal.
Yeah, that would be awesome. In your work backpack, and then it's always there. Heck, you put a mag mount on your desk at work and you're using it. It'd be even better if you had a radio that you could work off of a Bluetooth headset, and then you could just sit there at work and monitor.
I'm sure the guy I share an office with would love that.
Oh, yeah. Were you listening to anything yesterday? I'll just leave it at that, and I'll text you in a few minutes if you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I was not. I think I know what you're talking about, and those frequencies are about to come out of my radio, so no.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But hey, man, give me five. I just pulled up at the shop and got to get in, and I'll try to call back out once I get my stuff set up at my desk.
Sounds good. Take your time. I got 20 something left. NADF.
KE8RUH.
Good morning. 0700 hours. Clear. 38 degrees.
KE8RUH. Dakota, you still out there?
Yes, sir.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking, I think Anytone 578, I think that's a smaller form factor radio also. I'm not 100% sure, but you might want to, I know it's more expensive than probably what you're looking at, but it's, it may have a smaller footprint. I don't know if it's small enough to go in your backpack, but I mean, I know that's a good radio.
That would be a pretty sweet radio to stuff in a bag, and I'm pretty sure Armalock makes stuff for it, so that could get out of hand quick.
Yes, I know they do. You know, the one thing with that is it'd be cool to have an Armalock case, but I think that does bulk things up, but then you do have the relocation ability of Armalock to move the cables and features.
Yeah, I'm torn between, like, do I do it all out like I did with this A57, or do I grab the cheapest, smallest mobile I can, stuff it in a pouch with like a 7-amp-hour or a 4.5-amp-hour battery?
Well, here's what I can tell you is if you found a cheap radio and proved it out and had, you know, you already have a 7-amp-hour battery, you have a bunch of the stuff to make this work, you could build a inexpensive one that that works and then prove to yourself that you need to build the expensive one. I mean, you'll always be able to flip a man pack or even have it for extra use or whatever, pass it over to your dad or something like that.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know that I've got two bags coming today that should fit substantially better than the one I have. So that might just rule everything out. I might just rock to 857. I'm going in the hole. I will be back in a minute. NABBF.
K8RUH, I'll be waiting for your departure from the hole.
Fire in the hole!
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. What's shaking? It's frosty this morning.
You know, it is chilly up there. It felt colder today than it's felt in several days, so I think we're on the cusp of getting winter weather.
Yeah, I made it. There you go, out of the hole. Yep, now I noticed the windows were all frosted up today, and I ran out of the house with just a sweatshirt, so... I could have prom fine, but I could probably throw in a jacket on.
Yep, I know how that goes. I threw a jacket on this morning and was not sad about it. Hey, Dakota, one last thought on that man bag thing and how you could use that if you built two of them, had the cheap radio as a proof of concept. Make sure it has GMRS, and then you could always use it when you're caravanning up north or something, throw it to a buddy and use it simplex GMRS, and that's always a good time. So just another thought, and then I think it goes over to Sean.
Well, I'm only about a half mile from my neck from my stop here. I was working right near home this morning, so I heard just a little bit of the discussion about Dakota still working on packaging. Oh no, I'm a mile and a half from my destination, so I might make another round talking about bags coming and getting that 857 set up all square. So I just coming in hot a little bit, figuring out what's being discussed. That's why I threw out the good old weather. It's always safe, if not boring. That and my ailments. Dakota? I don't know if I said good morning, but good morning, Sean. Yeah, we're discussing how hard it is to find bags for these things. They're always too big unless you spend 200 something bucks on a specific pouch that's not even a bag to put it in. So we're talking about, look, there's a handful of UHF, UHF mobiles out there that are 20, 25 watts that are home size that you can fit in a pouch. And I've been noodling that around too, something that I can literally substitute an HD with, fit in a bag. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been spending too much radio on radio, or too much money on radio crap recently.
Yeah, but isn't that the fun of it, is always trying to build something new and spending more money on it?
I was going to say exactly that. You know, that's the part we like. And then once you get everything all perfect and you get it just the way you want it, then you tire of it and move on. Oh, geez, it's a sickness. But getting it perfected is always fun. I got one bag. It's made for a bike. It goes on the back of my bicycle. It clips into a rack on the back of my bike. And I've got that 705, you know, and a few other odds and ends that I use with biking. And so if I ever go biking and I want to bring that with me, I'd use that, obviously. But normally I'm a backpack guy. The one strap of it over my one shoulder, that's kind of how I roll, and so I'm always looking for something like that whenever I'm looking for some sort of a go kit. And I had for my little 818 or whatever it was, 817, 818, I think I had 817 MD, which is which is the same as the 818. I think I had a camera bag. It kind of came with something else. I don't even remember. And that worked out pretty good, too. So there's a lot of stuff. You just got to find just the right one. Maybe look in different genres, if you will.
Yeah, I'm trying not to make it all tactical either. I want it to be as plain Jane, you know, it's just a bag in a bag kind of deal. But I also don't want to, well, how would I say this? I don't want to put unnecessary use on my 857 because it's discontinued. I looked up the serial number too, by the way. This is 2006, so she's vintage. So, if I'm just bebopping to and from work and commuting on the repeaters, I would rather stuff some cheap radio in a bag that I don't care about than this gem.
Yeah, that totally makes sense because you could just beat the crap out of some $125 25 watt Chinese radio and then have the good stuff for when you need the good stuff.
I was 9 when this radio was made. No, I can't do math. I'm an idiot. 13.
As you were saying that, I was really hoping you were wrong.
Well, I guess I'm going to do some more shopping this morning.
I just found the bag that that I bought that my my radio's in. I'll send it over to you. It's a $18 Chinese nonsense bag, but it works out pretty well.
It just has to hold things and the zipper has to work. That's it. Very simple. And real quick before I forget, so that battery, my 7 amp, it charged in like an hour last night. And the voltage is the exact same today. So I'm thinking I had way more juice than I anticipated. I have an inline meter that'll actually calculate draw and all that crap, so I'm going to put that on it, I think, and run it for a day, or a morning, I should say, and then I'll just double that, because that'll be worst-case scenario. I usually talk less in the afternoon, but, yeah, I think the 7 amp hour is probably plenty for a couple days.
I would think so.
Jump. I'm back.
I would think so,
you guys,
Sean.
Doubled there a little bit, but I got you both. Go ahead, Sean.
No, nothing. Just I had to jump, and I just tuned back in.
Dakota, I would think so. I have on my little kit. I have a, I think it's a 4 amp hour battery, and it is. I've never had to charge it out of necessity. So I've never put as much use into it as you're putting in on a daily basis now, but it works. It works fine. So yeah, I bet you have more juice than you think you do.
All right, Sean, I'll catch you later. And yeah, 7 amp hour. I mean, really, so I'm running 15 watts, which is 3 times an HP. It's got to be drawing, like, next to nothing, because I can run an HP on a battery for there and back without charging it.
Yeah, you should have more than enough juice to get 4 days out of it. I mean, it makes sense to be a little bit more cautious than that, but once in a while, you should test it and see how much juice you do have.
Yeah, I'm still on the hunt for a more elaborate 12-volt charger. Like, all my LiPo battery chargers, like, they give me tons of data, which I like. You know, how much they charged it, how long it took, the voltage when it started, the voltage when it ended, that kind of thing, the current. I don't know that I can do that with 12-volt batteries because they don't have balance leads or anything like the LiPos do. They're not, there's really no intelligent chargers. So instead of buying a Delco, I just cut the alligator clips off that other one, like you said, put power poles on it, and it worked like a dream. I unplugged the radio while I was in the bag, plugged it in, the battery done.
Perfect. That's going to save you a ton of time to not having to pull that battery in and out of the bag.
Yeah, so good call. And while I was at it, I ordered another power cable for my radio. So I'm going to take the factory one, which I'm assuming is the factory one, bundle it up, put it away, and then I'm going to shorten the crap out of this other one to about 8 inches and leave it in the bag.
Holy smoke, is that new building downtown I'm seeing way the hell up here?
I don't know. I didn't know they put up a building that tall that you'd see it from wherever you're at in Macomb County.
I'm
on Mound.
That new building.
Mound Road, and you can generally on a good clear day you can see
it from my balconies in my bedroom at night. And
but there's something
like
reflecting
like
sunlight,
a bright,
you know,
white
just,
monolith.
What the hell is that? Because it's really the way it's reflecting sunlight. And it occurred to me that might be that brand new building they built down there. I think it's monstrous. It's the biggest building in Detroit.
It sure could be. I mean, it would make sense that you'd see a light reflection. The sun keeps moving angles every day now since they're getting light, less and less light every day.
I doubled on Sean. It's the new Hudson's building, and I see it at night from my balcony, and it's lit up like a bright white monolith at night. You don't even see the REM cent anymore in the skyline. That thing is just one big, bright, white tower of light. W8RCY.
Right now, if you look, do you see it like it's reflecting a ton of sunlight?
Give me a second.
I'm going to jump out, guys. I just pulled in, so I'll catch everyone later. N8DBF.
I see more of the REM send than I do of that, but now you see the other way around.
Now, that wasn't a question, but okay.
So I guess it'll remain a mystery, but I'm pretty sure that's what I'm seeing. I don't know, hard to say. Anywho, got about a mile to go to my next stop.
Hey guys, I'm out of here. I got to get to work with KE8RUH. We'll catch up with you guys tomorrow.
All right, Anthony, we'll catch you then. Just, late start for me today, working down here in the city, so not a lot of drive time, just a little hop from here to there, and I'm almost there. W8FU.
Anthony, you have a great day. Dakota, if you still got ears going, you sure have a great day. I got to go across the street and get my monthly cardio exam taken care of, and then I'm pretty much done for the day, but I got to be there at 8. That's why I checked out early. All right, Sean, you're heading downtown. I take it. Have a safe day. Have a safe drive, and we'll be back on the air probably around 8:45, I should be home.
Okay, catch everybody later. I am final approaching my stop as well. So, ta-ta for now. W8FU.
Morning, guys. Good morning. 73 Doll. I have a great day at work. Short drive today. Grand Rapids and Southfield, and I'll check everybody on the road. KCKGO.
Short drive to Grand Rapids.
Yeah, going to the office first, so I'll meet up with the boss's boss. She wants to meet everybody, so co-worker and I are going to go do that, and we're going to go to Farmington, after Farmington, Grand Rapids, and then see how that goes from there.
So you get Farmington first, that would be, well, you get Auburn Hills, then Farmington, then. Some windshield time today, though?
Yeah, a little bit of windshield time. You going into Auburn Hills?
I am.
I'll see what time I get there, and we can meet up if you want, and I can drop the 4550 off to you.
Yeah, that might work. I don't know. Are you going to head over to the tech center or what?
Well, right now I'm still over by home, so I won't get to that area until probably about another 45 minutes, probably about a little bit after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm planning to be there about 8 o'clock. Are you able to go under in no parking garage, or is it better to go outside?
Oh no, that thing won't fit in the parking garage. Even my tar cart that I had didn't fit, and I actually got wedged in that garage once. Bent my ladder rack and everything because security demanded that I park there. And then when they found out I couldn't fit and I got stuck, then they tried blaming me, like, you're the one that told me to park there. So I got you on Discord if anything when I'm done at the office. I can buzz over there real quick and meet you in the lobby or something.
Yeah, I'll probably have to come out and meet you, but kind of think of where the best spot to do that would be. Probably if you go around the tower.
Oh, back by shipping?
Colonel, there's a little there might be a little spot where you can like pull around a little court cut down in the deal, but a cul-de-sac on the south side of the tower.
Right now I'm buzzing through Armada. I go up to, you know, there's no purpose in me going all the way down the Hall Road to go all the way back up, so I come up through Armada, Richmond, Rochester area.
I guess the important question, do you have Venmo, or I don't have cash on me right now, so I'll have to scratch it until I get cash.
No, I do Venmo.
Alright. Yeah, send me a message when it'll work out.
Are you on the Flint area then? What does it take you, what, 45 minutes? Can't down from up there by Flint?
I think it's 50 with no traffic. I'm a little north of Flint, so. But yeah, they still got southbound down to two lanes here. They opened it up, so we're on the southbound lanes, but they haven't opened the third lane here.
KF80FD. KF80FD, good morning. KCKJ.
Yeah, that was KF8DFD as in Victor. I just wanted to chime in. I hear you guys talking about the 75 construction. They just made a change this morning, and around the Grand Blanc area, northbound is down to one lane because they're pulling out the cement barricade. I just wanted to throw that in case it helps. KF8DFD, I'll be clear.
Yeah, I think they bring it down to one lane on the north side when they're doing that, but they only do that when they're working. They'll bring it up to two when the when they're back.
Well, by the time I got to go to Grand Rapids, I'll be in Farmington, so I'll be taking 696 west and then 96 instead of going up to Flint.
Yeah, what is 69 all the way home?
Yeah, when I'm done up in Grand Rapids, I'll take 69 all the way home. It's a lot faster.
Hey, BNY, hell, last week I had to go to Romeo. Took 69 over to 53 and took that down, so that was... haven't been that way in a while, but... kind of find a repeater in there that was like goes in Almont and couldn't hit Romeo.
I remember the bag Richmond or the Detroit repeater. You can try that. The other one is probably UMP in Mount Clemens.
Yeah, I don't think I have the Richmond machine loaded in here. I should probably put that in there. That one didn't exist last time I programmed this radio.
Yeah, same here. I didn't know about it. Around early last year. And then I was talking with Sean. He goes, oh, here it is. And I'm like, I couldn't find that one. It's like a remote site.
Hey, I assume that there's a dead spot between Mayville and Romeo. But yeah, I didn't have the Richmond machine program. Try that one.
Yeah, I have them all programmed in there. Now, they're just scattered all over my channel, so I got to zip one way, zip the other way. Really didn't do it in much of an order.
Yeah, I usually do repeater book and then just set it distance from me and just start going down the line. Sometimes I'll reorder them. Like I've got FBI and then the Romeo machine and then West Bloomfield all right in a row, so I can just hammer down them as I'm traveling. Other than that, they're just kind of in distance from my location.
Yeah, I just got to order the programming cord from my Alico and do it that way, go in there and program it. Right now, it's all front panel.
Yeah, that's a good thing to be able to do. Some radios are better than others with that. I really like the way ICOM does it. They do a pretty good job with being able to front panel program, at least on my my 52, my 5100. Some other radios are pretty much impossible. I can do it on my Kenwood, but it's not ideal.
Well, the Alico isn't too bad. I can go to VFO, put in the frequency I want, and I hit function in the star, zip over to the PL I want, and then hit function again, and it saves it there, and then I hit memory, spin the dial until I find an open channel, and then I save it in there, know, so it's not too hard. It's just the fact of just steering it and concentrating on it. So I got to lean forward because I got it mounted a little low on my file box here. I should bring it up. But then I have auto offset, so that makes it easy. But I had to turn off the auto tune, or whatever you want to call it, where if I type in a frequency like 225, it goes to like 230. So I just shut that off.
Yeah, sometimes they don't like the step if you're if you got like a, you know, what is it, 10 kilohertz step or whatever, it won't go to 5 kilohertz increment, you know, you gotta, and I know I run into that sometimes when I'm trying to get in something that's like a, you know, an 875 or whatever, it'll go to 870 or 880, you know, and just, you gotta change that tuning step.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I turned off the auto step. Like, I don't need you. I know how to do this. And it does. It rounds it. Especially on VHF, it gets it all quirky. So, turn it off on both A and B sides. But the auto shift is nice.
Yeah, a lot of radios will do that. As long as the standard shift, it'll do that. Some of them will search the BL tone somehow. I've seen it, but I haven't played with it, I guess. So you usually program them in.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, they'll just do a scan on the PL tone. The other thing I like is the icon. You use the GPS to tell you what repeater in area. You know, there's like a separate database you'll put in there, and you just say, hey, find a repeater near me, and it'll give you the list.
Yeah, my radio's not that fancy.
That's unique to the ICOM, and maybe the later Yaesus do that of GPS, but it's still kind of like programming radio. You gotta go get the database. It comes loaded with just the D-Star repeaters, but you can load it with whatever you want. You just gotta go out and grab it.
Yeah, the dumb thing I didn't do is when I ordered the radio is I didn't get the digital chip, so now I'm kicking myself in the derriere for that, and I should have ordered the programming cable too, but I don't know, I got this thing for front panel programming. I got a couple ICOM HTs that are older, and I got those down a little bit to a science.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing, that can gotta be a skill sometimes. I had a Yaesu FT70, and that thing is, I can front panel program it, but it's you gotta know some key combinations and remember them in order to get it done. But the easiest thing to do that was just run a VFO, and you can easily get it, transmitted on the repeater, but getting it programmed and saved is a little bit more difficult.
Oh yeah, my ICOM, the ICOM HD is like that. It's an older model, and you can only program it through front panel. It doesn't have software. It's older, but they're reliable. I mean, I spent $40 on 2 batteries, and I'm good to go there. I might order a couple more batteries for it. I haven't used them all that much, but I might start doing that.
See, you know, ICOM has good radios. I've been happy with to an icon start. I particularly like the icons the best out of everything I've got. The second would be probably the Kenwood.
Hey, KJ. I stand corrected. The HDs that I have are Olinkos. I looked at the BG75. I don't know what it is. It's a goofy number. ED or something like that. But they're both dual banders. And, yeah, I read the book a couple times and I figured it out. Now I just do it pretty quick. Yeah, I had to download the manuals because I got them used. I got two chargers, two identical HDs, and some batteries, and then, one that you can put double A's in. Don't know where that's at, though. All for about $100.
Driving past the radio jammer rest stop. I don't know if you hear me.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I think that MDOT sign at the rest stop on the southbound side is totally wiped out a huge signal.
Good morning, 0800 hours, clear, 39 degrees.
Sherwood.
W8FSM. W8FU.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Clear. 46 degrees. Good morning, 1000 hours. Clear. 50 degrees.
NHNM K8BB.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Clear. 54 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, clear, 57 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours, clear, 59 degrees. $1,000. It's like, I don't know. I basically said
that brings back memories. I got memories of meetings similar to that where I was, I was a field tech, and then they wanted me to sell contracts and then do inventory and blah, blah, blah. The contracts, there was a kick involved, but I commented on it, and I got called the same thing. I'm like, not a team player, but this and that. And I'm like, and it turned out to be a big plop, and they lost people over it, and this, that, and the next thing, because we had a sales crew, which it was their job to do the rest of that. So, yeah, I feel for you. It's just, that's life in that kind of world.
Oh, yeah. See, I did something prior to this new program, which is still in effect, but it's called SUS, the Service and Sales. So I put in some sales leads. I'm supposed to get paid, like $50, for these leads. $25 to start, $50 to end, to get the close. Yeah, the last one I got paid on was last year. So I'm like, okay, I'm done with this.
Yep, exactly. Similar results on what things I've been through, yeah. Anyway, I'm at the UPS store, my first stop, and I'm going to Jersey Mike's, so I'll call back out when I'm done in there. KE8VSI.
All right, I'll be around for the next few minutes. 4.5 miles. KE8KGO.
KE8VSI Mobile.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Clear. 59 degrees. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Clear. 59 degrees.
K8RUH. I am. Where are you at?
Heading to Troy to grab one more run. I was planning on going to Grand Rapids today to help out, but our meeting with my boss's boss took 4 hours. To me, I see it as pointless, but that's my opinion, and I made it well known in Rome. To rub some people the wrong way.
Ah, where are you headed in Troy? Where are you headed in Troy, Tom?
Oh, Big Beaver in Illinois.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of in my neighborhood. I'm at Maple and Stevenson. So not too far off from where my office is.
Yeah, the two big brown towers on the corner of Big Beaver and Livernois. You know where those are at?
I think so.
Those are mine.
Fine. The whole, both buildings, the whole thing. You guys have all the systems in there?
Yes, I have the system for both towers and the parking deck and the elevators. And, you know, my system helps control the elevators after hours. And then I have quite a few accounts in there. So not everybody in there, but, you know, quite a few. The largest is the full towers, 1 and 2.
That must be quite a bit of equipment to manage. I can imagine there's a lot of doors and a lot of proximity sensors and things like that.
Oh yeah, and then the ones that are inside the elevators, when you bag your card. And depending on what fleet you're in is what floor you can and cannot go on.
Yeah, probably a whole lot of moving parts and a lot of programming goes into getting all of that correct.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a bunch of relays. There's, there's what, 5 elevators, so that's 5 relay boards. Because each relay board is 8 relays. And you got to separate them into what relay goes to what floor, and then what floor goes to what access level, and what access level goes to what card user. Yeah, it's a little complicated, but once you get used to it, it's kind of simple.
Yeah, I can imagine. I used to, years ago, I managed all of our stuff at our office, all the proximity sensors and the software and all that kind of stuff. Didn't necessarily replace hardware, but just manage the software and set up the zones and all that kind of stuff. So I have a little bit of an understanding of what you do. Probably not even close, but almost enough that when you're talking, I know what you're talking about.
Well, most systems out there use weakened technology, you know, for card readers, proximity. It all depends on if it's 12.75 or 13.25 megahertz or kilohertz. You know, 26-bit, 34-bit, 37-bit cards. I got PID cards out there. Those are 72, and those are my AOD and my federal systems. But yeah, I mean, once you see one access system, they pretty much go the same way. Just terminology is different. How you program it is different. But they all operate the same way. Which one did you use at your old office?
You know, I can't even remember what the software was called. And this is like probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I forget more than I remember. I mean, I got so many different access systems in my head, it takes me a minute. But some of the old school stuff I can still do with ease, some of the older DOS-based systems. Windows 3.1, Windows 95. I mean, most of it is pretty cut and dry, unless you get to the higher-end systems, like OnGuard or ProWatch or Secure 9000. Those ones involve a little bit more mental math, I guess you can say. But, I mean, they just... You just program in different ways.
Yeah, I think this was a program that was on a Windows 97 PC. I think.
I mean, you gave me a written manual for me just to breeze through, and then I can pretty much figure it out. You know, or if they don't have one, I mean, I've converted a Blue Diamond to a CASI system. I've changed a Blue Diamond to a Cantex system. Like I said, all depends on what's in there. Once I sit down in front of it and then my mind starts working, then it's pretty easy to figure out.
I would imagine you got a ton of reps in, so it's probably all just, like you said, it's a matter of time, a few minutes. Staring at it and your input and data, I would imagine at a certain level they're all the same, and then there's just little different nuances.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the same as like Windows 10 and Windows 11, they both operate the same way. It's just one has a little bit more different capabilities than the other, and the GUI looks different, but works the same way. It's all logic. If this, then that.
Yep. Hey, give me a few minutes. I'm in a bunch of traffic right here. I'll call back out in 5.
Yeah, no rush getting to this, the towers over here. I have special parking. I park in the back, so just be careful out there. I'll talk to you when I'm done here. I'll throw my call out. KACKGO.
All right, K8RUH. Have a good day. But I'll talk to you later.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Clear. 58 degrees.
Yeah, I have an addiction.
got hooked up on this great.
Oh, you don't have to switch over to DMR. Like I said, is my coworker is on FRS with me on the mobile. So all I got is the analog right now, unless you got P25.
UHF P25 in an analog world, or
UHF
world.
Yeah, I got P25 on Wally's tape radio, and then I got, like I said, he's on my setup, just the analog and the DMR UHF. But that one right now is set for acid. I usually don't go in DMR until later in the day, on my way home or something.
Yeah, right now I've got basically just DMR programmed in. I threw a couple analog repeaters in, but I'm not hoping for that. And pretty much just doing DMR right now.
Well, if you want my archive for the 4550, I can send it to you. I got all the DMR in there.
Okay, that sounds like a fun one. Hopefully it wasn't anything too bad.
Well, they're rolling out this new program called Pet Quoting, where when we go to a site, we're to upsell equipment and say, hey, I can do this now. I have the equipment, and, you know, I can give you a quote right now and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if the customer agrees and after they pay for it, you know, I might get 6% commission up to $2,000. So even if I did do it, I had five jobs that were $2,000 a piece, that'd be $10,000. You know, the same, is it per job or is it for the month kind of thing? And, you know, then you got to wait 30 days for the money if you get the money. So I kind of balked at it and said, I'm not doing it. I think it's stupid. And she didn't like my answers.
So it's the good old, I can fix it for $100, or sign a new one for $1,000?
No, instead of sending it to a sales rep and getting that done, or, you know, the other application, which is service to sales, and, you know, making possibly $50 on the whole sale, they more or less want us to sell it and install it. And I said, I'm not climbing ladders. I'm not pulling cable. I said, I'm done doing that. I've been here too long. I'm done. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. And she didn't like my answers and said that I was a negative influence on the other technicians.
Because you're dumb. Your idea is dumb and I speak up doesn't mean it's not a smart idea. I don't know. Trying to cut out the salesman and make you guys a salesman. Are you at least going to get commission out of it if you do?
Oh, yeah, if the job gets billed out and we complete it and the customer agrees to it, we get 6% of the total. And, you know, but we won't pay that money for like a month. You know, it's not immediately on our paycheck. It's like a month after it goes through whatever process it needs to go through. It's just another line of crap. And I'm not buying it. I basically said, I'll believe it when I see it. She goes, wouldn't you like an extra $700 for this type of job? I'm like, sure. I said, but I shouldn't have to work for it just to get it. I said, I should be making more money. I said, because I'm not your top access guy. And everybody comes to me and my coworker for a lot of problems. And I said, we go out there and do this stuff. I said, I should get a raise, but I know I can't get that either because I'm union. So, yeah, I balked at it a lot. I mean, I rocked the boat where my coworker was going to kill. And I mean, I was just annoyed by it all.
Hey, isn't that the union line? It's not your job description to be a sales rep?
I literally asked that flat out. I said, is it voluntary or is it mandatory? She goes, well, it's organic right now, but it will become mandatory. Like, so, I am expected to sell one quote, or quote, one job, what, a week, a month, a year? You know? No, they want us to doing part, you know, be part salesman, part installer, and part service. I mean, you've got enough of a workload just being service. And now you want me to upsell on a piece of junk of equipment that should have been replaced, you know, 5 years ago because the salesman wanted to keep buying stuff off of eBay? I don't think so. I'll sell batteries all day long. You know, but I'm not doing it, basically.
Yeah, if they make that part of your performance review or whatever, and yeah, that could be a real ordeal. Especially, I don't know, I imagine a lot of your customers are not able just to whip out a check and here you go, do whatever you want, you know. You gotta go through boards and budgets and all that other stuff.
Well, some will, but you know, they come up to hand, you can relocate this phone, you can relocate this button. If you put it on a job, you know, on a regular service call, that's billable. And they're like, oh no, can't do that. It's turning into a tech quote and do it that way. It's like, okay, so I'm doing double the work and it takes 45 minutes for one tech quote to go through, if not up to an hour. So basically, I can be done with the job before the job even gets posted on my page. So I'm not too keen on it.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody thought they had a smart idea. We can save some heads and have our sales, our people do three jobs.
Well, not only that, is now found out that the contractor would go over there and replace a damaged part, and we have to charge for labor too. So they have a broken magnet on the door, and I replace it, and I charge them $50 for the magnet, but I charge them $1,500 for a service call. And it'd be $2,000 for a stupid $10 part. It's dumb, very dumb.
Yeah, that's pretty normal, though. Last laugh at some of our prices, we looked at some of our stuff, and, you know, we'll have some parts we'll look up, you know, what we pay for them, and it's like 2 cents, and you look at what they get for them at the dealer, they want like $8 for the thing, and that's, you know, that's just a part, let alone somebody wants to install it, you know, that's... make money on paying people to do stuff.
Well, yeah, she sat there and literally complained, you know, about how she got to be a safety officer, a safety person, whatever, for the company, where she goes, yeah, it says, you know, she was doing this one job, they came in and plopped all this stuff, so she was a new safety manager, and she goes, am I getting a raise for this? They go, nope, here it is. So, but yet they want us to do that. We don't get a raise and expect us to do more work.
Yeah, I'm not doing that unless I'm getting paid the same commission a salesperson would. They've got 2 miles of K-Rail pulled out.
Yeah, 2 miles of what?
2 miles of K-Rail on the construction here. They're at the 106 mile marker.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going through some backwoods area, I guess. I'm trying to get up to Commerce Boulevard, but take the city, bro.
Yeah, scenic route could be good. Especially in the fall with all the leaves.
Oh no, I'm driving past houses that are like 3 times more of my annual salary.
Oh yeah, after some Grey Poupon on a Rolls Royce?
Oh no, they're all inflated by driving electric vehicles around.
Yeah, a couple of people I work with, they worked, they drive through that area to get to work, and they had a thing going on, and they had the Bentley du jour. They would send pictures of Bentley that they would find on the road back and forth to each other.
I just can't see it. I know there was a conversation that was, you know, that was out there before in regards to electric vehicles. I mean, they're nice for tooling around. I mean, if you're just doing short stints and stuff. But fault is, no, that is, the battery dies, and you got to replace it, it's about half the price of the actual vehicle that you bought it for. You know, so you got to finance the car first, and then before you can get the car financed or paid off in 5 years, you buy new batteries.
Yeah, that's been kind of my thoughts too. Is, you know, like when you actually break it even, like they do these break even things, and it's like, you know, I've seen some analysis that's like, yeah, but after 5 years, you got to replace that battery. Lithium ion, so they take so many charges, you know, and now you've got hazardous materials to deal with. You can't just throw that in the landfill. You got to take care of that properly. It's not. You just go to a junkyard and crush it up and send it to the scrapper, you know. The costs are way too high for not much more, you know. I could see them eventually, but costs are too high right now. And the charging is another issue that just you couldn't drive up to the UP. In one day, you gotta sit for an hour somewhere in between and charge the battery.
Right. Now, going with a hybrid, that's a different idea. Because my coworker, people got in the intro, they went with a hybrid battery to build it up.
Roar of, you know, like the sound of it in the roar. I mean, that's
my 6 they put in the charger. It sounds nice, but, I heard a mule outside of work one day. It sounds really good, but, it's definitely no VA.
Exactly. Nothing beats the roar of a V8.
Everybody wants to have one. We're just gonna, let's quit making it. We'll go to batteries instead.
Which car is that? The Challenger? What do they call it?
The Hellcats.
Oh yeah, Hellcats. That's one heck of a car right there. And then you got the Demon. I love the Demon. KKKKO.
Yeah, I was in the plant, the first Hellcat they were building up for throwing a car. It was kind of an interesting sight to watch. Everybody, all the engineers were huddled around the room. That was a cool program to be on. We were at the plant. Guy took us for a ride, one of us was hammered it at the little test strip they have there. It was a cool program to be a part of.
Oh yeah, and the Vipers. I love the Vipers. I mean, that was a great, great car, the Viper. SRT Kennedy and then what's the one with the blue and white stripes? That one, both of them are awesome. I love them both.
Yeah, they could make it a little while ago.
Getting
built, basically. I got a phone call here, and I got to get out pretty soon. Immediately.
Before you go off too far on the Viper, talk about the Hellcat for a minute, NHTV.
Oh, the Hellcats are great. I mean, for Dodge and just going beyond what you can think of. Okay, let's put a Hellcat engine in a Dodge Caravan. Okay, only Dodge will do that.
54 degrees.
Yeah, they were actually talking about doing that, but I was picking up some engines from Roush that were being dyno tested, and that was back when the Hellcat motors were putting out around, I think it was 714 horsepower. They went up since then, but as I was picking up these engines, they brought them from across the street, and they were blowing the fuel out of the fuel rails with a tank of nitrogen and collecting up the fuel and getting it out of the lines. So I said, that doesn't smell like regular gasoline. What kind of fuel is that? The guy said that for these motors to run properly, they should be running on 108 octane.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the higher performance motors, they don't need that baby stuff in there. Choke it down. No, 108, that's perfect. You could probably mix it with 92 and still get the same, a little bit lower percentage, but still get good octane on it. But definitely, definitely. I used to run high octane in my Escalade, but then the price got too high.
Well, they used to sell over here on Gratiot at the Citgo station the Turbo Blue fuel. Turbo Blue is only 104 octane. So even Turbo Blue isn't proper fuel for the Hellcat. How many people do you think are driving around Hellcat Challengers and Chargers and TRX trucks running 89 octane in there?
Oh, there's probably more people than we can count on our fingers and toes. I know the best fuel besides the 104 is recreational fuel. I was told that by my mechanic. Recreational fuel has no ethanol in it. And I said I put rec fuel in mine. A little bit more expensive. It was a super price hike, and she ran fantastic.
I had a friend, haven't seen him in probably 25 years. Lost track of him. Knew him through a girl that we had mutual interest in. But he had a 67 GTO, and he said he used to run 94 octane in that, and then put the lead substitute and octane boost in there, and he said the octane just went off the charts. But you couldn't do it with cheaper gas. He said you got to start off with a decent gas. So the Ultra 94 was what he used to run to start off with, and then put the additives in. So, but I'm sure there's a ton of vehicles out there being run on crappy low octane gas, and they're just ruining those motors.
Yeah, in my younger years, when I was a teenager, I had a 74 Nova with a 350 custom 4-volt. And my mechanic up there says you don't need to run that substitute because this car's been, had like 120,000 miles. He says, run it 94. So I ran it 94 and did a lead substitute every so often. And, oh, yeah, dude, it was different. I took the course, being younger. How's the car and stuff? Look, the air cleaner kind of upside down. More air into the fuel. And there are a couple times where I've stuck the top of the air cleaner in because I was pushing, pulling so much air into it. It was great.
Well, what year motor was that 354 volt main?
It was a 1974 Chevy Nova 350 Custom. I found out that the Custom had 4-volt main in it. It had a turbo 400 tram, and it had limited supply rear end. It was all stock. And I used to race that thing constantly in California until I blew the tram.
Well, 74, they had them choked down quite a bit, lowered the compression. 71, you saw a big drop off. 70 was the last of the high compression motors. I've got I got motors manuals over here. If I dug them out, I don't know what I've got. Four of them, I think, on the couch over here. But if I went digging in the file cabinet, I've got tons of those old motors, repair manuals. And those listed all of the different motors, compression ratios, bores and strokes, and the whole nine yards. Had all the tightening specs and bolt patterns for rebuilding and stuff like that. And, man, I used to study that book like the back of my hand. I knew that thing when I was a teenager. I was looking up motors in those things all the time. 68, 69, and 70 were the biggest performance years. And after 70, they started to taper off. By 75, everything was choked down with unleaded fuel and stuff like that. Low lead, I think they called it back then, low lead fuel. Well, I remember growing up through those days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're getting a little noisy. I got this brown paper bag. It's got three of the motor's manuals in here. Three good ones. I've got right here 1970, 1976, and a 1972.
Oh, I got you. All right, like I said, you got to my run. I'll be back out in a bit. J-A-K-A-O.
Yep, I just opened up the book, looking for the engine specs. Not Chrysler. Chevy Vega, Pontiac Astra. Yep, cool books. Monza, Skyhawk, and Starfire, and Sunbird. So, yep, all right, catch up with you later. NHTV.
WABTD.
Good evening, 1800 hours, cloudy, 50 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours, cloudy, 51 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours, cloudy, 50 degrees.
WAFU, KEAZRI.
KEAZRI, KEALAX. He's probably in bed by now. I could be wrong, but...
Hi, Ian, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
It sound entirely different on VHF as opposed to DMR. You sound like a whole different person. Over.
QSL. That's kind of how it is for everybody. But there is key notes that you can pick up out of someone's voice over the digital end that gives them a recognizing sound.
Roger that. Yeah, I could tell it was you. Hey, let me ask you something. Did something happen with GMRS over the weekend? Was there some kind of trouble with the radios? Over.
I don't believe so. I don't think we touched the GMRS machine over there. Unless there was some issues and they disconnected it. I know sometimes that happens when people start getting a little obnoxious, if you will.
Yeah, Roger, that's what I mean. Seems as though there's something happened with some people getting obnoxious, and I was just monitoring them, these other people on GMR, and they're a little frustrated. I guess the Mount Clemens repeater was shut off or something, and now they're all thinking about going and getting their ham licenses. I thought that was funny.
Oh, brother, I better turn it back on.
All right, that one got me going.
That was real funny listening to those guys talk. They're all thinking about how they're going to go and get their technician license, and this guy wants to do it, this guy wants to wait, and the other one wants to get his right of ways. I think that was real funny.
Hey, Sean, you got stepped on. Go ahead again.
I heard my call, and by the time I got to the radio, you had already jumped in there, picked up the other station, but now I hear what it might have been all about. I assume that you were looking for some clarification on the weekend's festivities.
Yeah, Roger that. Sean, I was just trying to figure out what went on, because I missed it all.
In general, I really don't like talking about that service here, but having said that, I will just say that we were busy. We were up working on the equipment, on the on the building, and I actually got a call from one of the stakeholders, because there's like four or five stakeholders, that are in that network, and it had gone from goofing around and and noise and stuff like that, it started getting vile and foul, the language, and and there was reports of doxing, and it really struck a nerve with most of the people that are big on that service over there. They're involved in public safety, and they're like, we can't have this, and so it was shut down because it went keying up or playing some music's one thing, but there's kids listening out there, so we just shut it down, and then we've been discussing over the weekend where to go from here. So it was reluctantly brought back online this morning. We'll see how it goes. No more linking. And it's a day-by-day, minute-by-minute, where we go with it.
Roger that. Well, whatever. I think you did the right thing. And, it'll cause them to think about it for a while. And they got to learn to follow the rules, they got to learn to follow the rules. I think they're on the Detroit repeater right now. And, also, Sean, I want to thank you for what you did at Mount Clemens. Thank you. I think that's just a fantastic thing that you guys all got together and did what you did. I wish I could have been there to help, but maybe next time I just think that that's such a great thing. You don't know how much we all appreciate you. Over.
Yeah, I've said it once, said it again. I'm not fond of the accolades or the and all that stuff. I do it for fun. I do it because it's not hard for me. So just leave it at that. But we have fun doing it, right? We had a blast, and there'll be more. You know, we'll get to do more of that. On that other one there, I'll just leave it at that because I really don't want to talk about it. I don't care who's who or who's doing what. It's just really about, you know, what we can or can't allow, you know, on the air. And like I said, I can't emphasize enough. So many parents, I went out as a parent and bought my kids little FRS radios. You know, so there's just so many little kids out there with these little radios. It's like, come on, man, we got to be better than that. So that's really what it came down to. Plus my partners, you know, they're just a gas. They're not, I'm a ham radio operator, so I have some familiarity with this, but they're a gas. They have no clue. They're just like, what is this? So, all right, anyhow, I got to get back to what I was doing. Good hearing you guys. Let you guys carry on. W8FU after yours.
Hey, Sean, and thanks again for what you did in Mount Clemens there and, you know, the wind link thing. And, gosh, I'm just really proud of you. Thank you very much again. And 73s, this is KEAZRI listening.
Yeah, Sean, no rigs, no kids, no space cadets, right? KEAUHC.
Right. Hey, did you get a hold of Todd? He's been calling you left and right.
Oh, no. I mean, today he was calling me?
Yesterday and today, although I haven't heard him lately, but he's been calling you, I mean, a lot the last couple of days.
Okay. I'll do that. Yeah, I talked to him yesterday after the double nickel net. Yeah. We're going to have a little get-together, celebrate at the Blue Goose. We're going to run a net here, I think the first weekend and first Monday in December. Maybe have some follow-up, and he has some, you know, I think, play the video of how he erected the tower and all that kind of thing. I'm sure a war and I don't know if you've ever seen that video or not, but okay, I'll get in touch with him. Thanks, Sean.
All right, Steve. Well, sounding good, by the way, in the system today. So a little, you know, bacon fry, but you're doing well. Okay, let me hop out. Man, it's only 8:10. I got a few hours to go. Got to catch up on one of my programs. Watch some cat videos. You know, the regular routine. Probably goes to Dean now. W8FU.
I know before I forget. Yeah, I plan going to the trade meeting on Thursday. Usually he's on Wednesday, but he's on Thursday, so I'm going to talk about, get him, you know, on board real quick about the, about those radios and stuff like that, those trunks and stuff, so that's also my thinking teams, is that's what I'm going to do. 73, this is KAAUHG.
WFU, KPF. Yeah, Phil, you caught me typing something.
Yeah, I sent you a text with some numbers on it. I just want to make sure you got it.
Was it regular text via to my phone, or was it Discord or Facebook Messenger? Because I don't see anything.
Yeah, it was regular text. You know, I had you down. I get you down twice. One with the, your old call, one with your new call. And for some reason, I had two different chains going. I sent to the one for your current call.
Well, but the text message, it has nothing to do with my call. So what forum did you send it to?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's just how I have a reference to my phone. But why do I have two separate chains? That's the question. Or two separate text paths for you. It's weird. I wonder if I have two different numbers for you, which I shouldn't.
Well, let me check. I have some... Let's see. I'm just trying to figure out where it would be. Let's see. Could it be here? No, it's not there. And my work number? No, not there. Well, it's a mystery to me. I'm not seeing anything incoming from you anywhere.
All right, I'm going to have to see what number it's associated with.
I'm pretty sure I know the numbers. Probably coordinates, I'm thinking.
Yeah, this is associated with the number that ends in a 1.
What about a 1? I disconnected there.
Yeah, the text was sent to a phone number ending in 1.
Have you got a text over there that you don't know who it's from? Okay. Weird. I can't think of what it would be ending in 1. Well, give me a minute. Let me think. But I've got nothing, nowhere.
All right, I'll send it to you the number. I'm not sure what this number is, why I have it in there. But apparently I have 2.
What's the last 2? Is it 9-1?
No, 1-1.
Oh. Hold on. I'm not even sure I can get text on that. That's my VoIP number.
Oh. Okay. Well, apparently you sent me something on that one. So that's why it came up in my history, and I just responded to that.
Yeah, I have no way of, I have no idea how I would even possibly receive or send anything there. I think if I tried to call you with it or something like that, it might automatically send something, but yeah, I have no clue how I would even access that.
Okay. All right, I'll resend it to the right one. When I get home in a few minutes.
All righty. Again, I'm going to get back to it. W8FU.
All righty then. Catch you later. KPS.
Good evening, 21 hours, clear, 46 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Clear. 45 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Cloudy. 47 degrees.
WATEDD.